This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, a busy show. Jerry Nabors with details of last night's redistricting meeting. Glenn Least and John Heilner on how the Delta variant may impact the economy. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. So the mask mandates are now spreading in Arizona, with the city of Flagstaff now requiring masks on city properties. Here's what they posted on Twitter. Quote, due to the increase in COVID-19 community transmission, the city of Flagstaff will require masks in city facilities starting at 6 a.m. on July 30th. So they're joining Tucson, Tempe, Peoria, Phoenix, the last I checked, that are doing the same thing. And the thing that I'm really concerned about is some of these councils, I don't know about Flagstaff yet, I don't know about your councils, but they're going back to virtual council meetings. And I don't think that's a good thing. And in fact, yesterday we had on Christina Sandifer of the Goldwater Institute. You got to check out that interview. There's an extreme property rights warning on that issue, because the city of Flagstaff passed an ordinance which changed zoning issues in the city for like almost the entire city. And they did it back in March, and nobody was able to go to these meetings, because they were virtual meetings, and you just can't interface with your so-called elected representatives. So now there's a massive lawsuit. And you got to listen to that interview. Talkwithjeff.com. If you own property in the city of Flagstaff, you might want to join in with Goldwater's lawsuit. So far, it's up to $23 million, and it's going to grow. That's what's 50 claimants. There's 13,000 households easily in Flagstaff. It's crazy. So check that out. But the question I have for you and for my guests coming up here in just a minute is, how is this all going to spread to other cities, maybe to companies? I hope it doesn't lead back to shutdowns again or anything like that. And how's this going to affect our really fragile economy going forward? But anyway, we'll get to all that. Welcome. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. I am very happy to be here with you today, and I want to hear from you. The text line's open. I'll try to get to some of your text comments towards the end of the program. The Just Wireless text line, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. But joining me to sort all of this stuff out, from WT Wealth Management, Glenn Least and John Heilner. Gentlemen, welcome. How are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks.
Doing good, Jeff. How are you?
We got everybody. Good stuff. John, I'm doing good. I think I'll start with you, John. The Delta variant, I was off last week, as my listeners know, took a rare week off, and then I come back, and it blew up, and now all these kind of mandates coming out. What are you seeing in the overall economy, I guess, in markets, as far as the variant goes and its impacts?
Yeah, I think the market's treating it much like we are at WT Wealth Management, is we're, you know, closely monitoring the situation and cautiously trying to anticipate what our next move will be for our client accounts. This is, unforeseen. I would think most people had thought this was behind us, that the vaccine effectiveness was help, and probably the most disturbing sequence of events that have happened in the last several weeks is that, you know, vaccinated people, fully vaccinated people, are coming down with the new variant. And by most accounts, this new variant is triple or quadruple contagious compared to the original variant. So it's a cause for concern. We're not, you know, have lights and sirens going off, but we're certainly looking at the situation, because the two things that markets don't like, one is uncertainty. That's always been the case. And the second thing is anything that impacts the consumer. And when the consumer sees news like this and worries about some of the things that you've already mentioned, whether it be, virtual city council, mask mandates, potential learning at home again, that could impact their employment situation if their children can't go to school. This could be a really disappointing Groundhog's Day, and we could be in a similar situation as we were last spring. Albeit without the loss of life, because it does appear that fully vaccinated people aren't going to get as sick as we were pre-vaccinations.
Yeah, and Glenn, what I'm surprised with, you and I were talking just last week before I took off for 1 week, and this wasn't even on our radar as a point of conversation, and then I come back and it's like, wow, the speed of this, and John just talked about that as well. I'm surprised, and you're in Flagstaff like I am, and now they're talking about remasking up and this and that, although they can't force it on businesses per state law now. But still, you deal with markets that are around the country and beyond. You don't know what's going to happen in New York or California or whatever when you're dealing with the overall economy.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing that even the news has been, I was just reading the USA Today yesterday, and it was saying that, you know, there are a lot of people are hesitant to go backwards, if you will, in some of these policies, and they're anticipating more resistance from individuals not wanting to go down that route again, just because they did everything that they're supposed to do, and they, you know, don't feel like it's the right thing for them. So it makes me do wonder, like, if certain towns and municipalities and states will have different reactions depending on how they go about doing it. And I hope you know, it doesn't cause a, you know, another, you know, massive downturn for businesses, because it seems like we're just kind of getting on the right track. In fact, it was like most businesses can't even hire enough people to get back on track. So I hope that the local government, you know, take us the grain of salt and also balance out the cost of the economy too. Because now that the vaccine is out, I think there is viable alternatives to say, hey, let's still stay open and let's come up with a solution that makes sense for everyone. So yeah. Interesting times for sure.
Yeah. And John, I know you're down in the Phoenix area. And my wife and the girls were down there doing some preschool shopping and this and that. We don't have like an IKEA, so they spent like 9 hours trying to walk through that. And anyway, they went to one fast food place, and there was a sign for this place for, it was like 14, 15 bucks an hour starting. Now in Flag, that's the minimum wage, but I know it's a little lower in Phoenix. That goes to what Glenn was just saying. We're still not even able to fill that workforce, the labor force.
Yeah, you know, it's... you know, I'm probably an old school money manager where I like to be observant to what's happening around me. And I will tell you that as of maybe 10 days ago, when I went into the grocery store, I would say one out of every 10 people was wearing a mask, even though we didn't have a mask mandate in Scottsdale. And I would say yesterday when I was in the grocery store, maybe 5 out of 10 people were wearing a mask. So people are watching the news and they're cautiously nervous about the situation. So when you see that much of an increase in voluntary mask wearing, you know that the consumer is watching what's happening and is concerned about that. And I think that will trickle down, unfortunately, to the businesses, and the businesses that have struggled to find enough help will probably put hiring on hold now, which could just exasperate the amount of people out of work, as I'm certain what the business demand will be like over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks as this unravels. So just a scare like this will send ripples throughout the economy, as I do think people will slowly pause their spending to see how this plays out over the next 30 days.
Yeah, and folks, we're talking with John Hollander and Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management. At least they're in the stores and out there shopping and stuff. I touched on this quite a bit earlier this week. Maybe it was yesterday. The GDP numbers came out, and it was a pretty big miss. Top of my head, I think it was, 6.5%, and they were projecting 8.5%. If I remember correctly, one of you guys, why don't you guys chime in on that? What do we read into that, or do we read into that?
Yeah, I do think it was a big miss. And you're right on your numbers. We had actual GDP, you know, annualized at 6.5%. The average street estimate was 8.5%. I would say there was a lot of quiet whispers numbers out there of maybe 9 or even 10%. So if you're basing it off the unpublished sort of industry behind the curtain whisper numbers, it was even a bigger miss. And more importantly, you know, Q1 was 6.3, so we didn't have the accelerated earnings and GDP growth that everybody had hoped for. Interesting, when you get down deeper into the numbers, personal expenditures was up almost 12%, and that's simply the retailer, and you know, that, you know, personal shopping consists of about 70% of GDP. Private investment was down about 5%, and government spending was down about 5%. So that's really where the shortfall came from.
I'll take the decrease in government spending.
You know, we've been talking, I track Goldman Sachs pretty closely, and they had a number for 2021 back in February of almost 7% of GDP. And then in May, they increased it to 8%. And then just 2 days ago, they decreased it now to 6.6% for the remainder of the year, with about a 7% increase for Q3 and down to 5% in Q4. So it definitely bears watching, and scares like we're going through now ultimately will impact GDP. And I think that's why the Fed has been overly cautious in every one of their meetings and with every one of their statements, is they wanted to be observant to all facts of information, even the medical facts, and not do anything that would undermine the economy.
Well, yeah, and they're still holding those rates at the 25 basis points, quarter percent going forward. So basically, we continue with near 0% interest rates and very low interest rates. I wonder what the impact is, and I haven't looked at this in quite a while, and I'm throwing this kind of out of the blue, I guess. We see other countries in Europe, for example, Australia is a disaster. I mean, they're like sending the military around. I got to talk about that in a little bit. It's really bad over there with very few cases. So people are not out spending, obviously, and certain European countries have issues. I don't know what's going on in Asia right now. You said 70% of our economy is domestic, but still we rely on a lot of trade internationally. I mean, how's that impacting everything going on?
Well, trade to this point has still been very strong because we're still catching up on supply chains from issues that happened throughout most of last year. I mean, everybody has seen the stories about chip shortages with automobiles. There still hasn't been a caught up there. There's chip shortages even with things like when Microsoft reported this week, they said some of their gaming systems weren't making it to retailers because they were short on chips. There's rumors that there's going to impact some of the iPhone sales later in the year because of chip shortages. So, you know, the amount of goods and services still clearing our borders is accelerating simply to backfill the supply chains that suffered so much in 2020.
Yeah.
Could change if things in Southeast Asia, where most goods and services are manufactured, you know, have to slow down because of this new COVID strain.
Yeah, we don't know what's to come yet, especially so many of the such a high percentage of chips coming out of one place there, right out of Taiwan. Glenn, did you get in on this? I guess it's kind of interesting that they'd even have an IPO, the Robinhood. Now, Robinhood is this, you have small amounts of money. I think people are putting their stimmy money in there, and they're playing in the market, yeah, and pumping things up like AMC and GameStop, and God, if Blockbuster was still around, they'd pump that up too. But anyway, Robinhood IPO. So what's going on there?
Yeah, so I would be an early adopter of that technology. I've had a Robinhood account as kind of like a small, I usually try a lot of these services out, like Robinhood, M1 Finance, Webull. I have a lot of different accounts, or even Acorns. I remember that when that was a thing. And so I've had a Robinhood account for a while. And yeah, they did go public yesterday and got absolutely crushed. They opened at $38 a share and immediately tanked 10%. So, and why is that? I think there's a lot of disdain for Robinhood right now because, you know, people look at Robinhood and see what happened with some of these meme stocks, and Robinhood put those halts on trading the stock to only be able to sell it. And so people have kind of a bad taste in their mouth. And so the business model of Robinhood is kind of interesting because they say it's free trades, right? That's what they say. No cost trading. There's no minimums. You can trade cryptos, whatever you want. But what they're not telling you is they're selling your order flow information. So they're basically selling them to high frequency trading firms that could then see what you're buying and selling. And then they give you poor execution price. So I actually just got a notice in the mail from Robinhood saying there's like a multi-million-dollar class action lawsuit for poor execution, and Robinhood's being sued from it. So the way that they make money is very interesting. They don't make any money off the trades. It's all on selling their user information and then maybe a little bit on the margin. So as a business model itself, is that, you know, profitable? Yes. Is it the right thing to do?
Yeah,
that's a different story.
Yeah.
But I think people are just annoyed with it, quite frankly, because it has such a black eye in the publicity. So but you know, there's a lot of clients that I have that they say, hey, we want to do something else. You know, we want our professionally managed money over here, but maybe we want to put a couple hundred bucks in this high flying, off the wall, going to cure cancer from extracting some sort of, you know, thing out of a bee, you know, wing or whatever, some long shot, you know, home run thing. And I'm like, you know what? We don't want anything to do with that. Open up your Robinhood account and wish you the best of luck on that couple hundred dollars, if they're really adamant of doing that. And I think a lot of people have realized with Robinhood, it's a nice gateway to get them interested in investing, but it's not where they usually end long term because it's not a very good platform for them.
You're probably not retiring too with some of these decisions.
Oh, yeah. And then they're calling me after they blew up their Robinhood account saying, will you actually manage our money professionally?
Yeah.
You know,
we thought we could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably using their UBI child tax credits and things like that. And it's just like it's play around money. So we'll see what happens. All right, gentlemen, I hope you have a great weekend. So much to watch. Let's hope we don't come back Monday and it's like there's, you know, another something else dropping here. Uncertainty, like you said, that's the last thing we need right now, especially in such a short period of time. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, folks. The Blind Brothers, sponsor for this segment of the show. When you call the Blind Brothers for blinds, shutters, and shades, you're going to work directly with them in 3 decades of combined experience, never with subcontractors. Now, they're going to lay out all of your options, not just the most expensive ones, to fit your style and budget. Right now, my listeners get half off installation in addition to any other advertised special. So do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. That's 634-2423, or go to theblindbrothers.com. All right, we're going to come back with Jerry Nabors, figure out what happened at last night's redistricting commission meeting in Flagstaff and what it means going forward. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, folks, welcome back. Comment line, like you just heard, I'd love you to text 877-971-3971. And that is brought to you by our friends at Just Wireless. Don't forget, they've got 2 locations in Flagstaff. If you want to drop off your smartphone or your gaming console, your devices, they will fix it for you. If you have a charging port issue, a battery issue, they were able to fix that for me. They've got their location right across from the Flagstaff Mall. Drop it off. It's a heck of a lot cheaper than buying a new phone, that's for sure. Just Wireless right there across from the Flagstaff Mall. And then, of course, over there on Milton Avenue, over there by the Cold Stone Creamery area. But welcoming back to the program someone who had a busy night last night, because after he was on the program here to talk about the redistricting commission, how that was formed, and now they're out there, the 5 of them, 2 Democrats, 2 Republicans, and 1 independent. I think they're out there. They're supposed to be out there having meetings in communities trying to figure out, are the district lines correct when it comes to your legislature, when it comes to the 9 congressional districts as well? And I say if they're there because Jerry Nabors is with us. He's been involved with this process, and he went there to speak. What was it like? I hear that they weren't all there.
Well, Jeff, yes, it was at the High Country Conference Center in Flagstaff last night, Thursday night, started at 5 o'clock. The chairman was there, and the 2 Democratic commissioners were attending by internet, you know, virtual attendance. They weren't physically there. And the 2 Republican commissioners were not there nor on the internet.
So they weren't. That's a little concerning, and, Jerry. I mean, this was a meeting that was in Flagstaff basically for the area, and then they go on to other areas like Kingman. I mean, when do they get back through Flagstaff again to hear concerns of people in maybe a 100-mile radius area or more? I mean, that this concerns.
It is a concern, Jeff. They probably won't be back until November after they get some draft maps and they are further into the process. Then they will come back to the tour and ask for people's input now as to a draft map. Now you're getting more specific, and they expect the comments to be more specific. They don't have that data, and they don't have the map yet. So right now they are going around the state getting some input on what is a community of interest. That's one of the constitutional requirements of the redistricting, is that you try to not carve up communities of interest. You know, people that have the same, say, issues and factors in their area. And so that was what was addressed last night. You know, it went on for 3 hours.
Wow.
There were probably 60 people in the audience, and I would say 40 people spoke. And what you got were people primarily saying, don't split up Flagstaff. You know, we are a community of interest, which makes sense. Don't split the, don't put a line down the middle of Flagstaff, for example, and put us in two different districts. Okay. Then some people said, we are a community of interest with the reservation and the tribal lands. And so don't split off, say, the Navajo and Hopi reservations from Flagstaff or the towns around the reservation. Keep them all in one district. Now, that's one of the more contentious issues, I believe, is should the tribal lands be in their own district, or should they be, you know, combined with the non-tribal lands in a district? Now, I spoke in favor of dividing the district from tribal lands in one district and non-tribal lands in a separate district. The reason being is that when I was mayor of Flagstaff, I had many, many chances to observe and realize that the Navajo Nation and the Hopi Nation have very different issues from, say, Flagstaff, Winslow, Sedona, et cetera. They're just totally different issues. And so I spoke in favor of putting as much tribal land as possible into one district so that they keep their strength and you're not diluting the tribal issues.
Okay.
By having them in a variety of districts. So, you know, the commissioner gave no response to anything. You know, they just go, okay, thank you for your comments. The other thing that I wanted to make a point out of that I also had learned as being mayor is that we have a community of interest between Flagstaff, Verde Valley, the kind of the I-17 corridor, and the I-40 corridor. If you think about from Kingman to Holbrook, all along I-40, we have some of the same issues. You know, we all get snow. We all have a dependency on I-40 and on the railroad. And we're all rural towns. We all kind of grew up together, if you will, on Route 66. So I requested that the commission divide northern Arizona from east to west.
Okay.
You know, give us from Kingman to Holbrook and from Cordes Junction to up past Flagstaff. Give us that district rather than what we have now, Jeff, is a district that runs north and south.
Yeah,
and that's why we've ended up with Flagstaff in the same district as northern Tucson.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about that. And what's weird, Jerry, Legislative District 6 on the Arizona side, for example, does not include Winslow. It's kind of strange, but yet it jumps over and includes Holbrook, I believe. CD1 does not include, it includes Camp Verde, but it does not include Cottonwood. So it's kind of, you chopped off areas of common interest, I think, previously. But go ahead.
Yes, and when you mention the legislative districts, Jeff, you're talking about, of course, the state districts as opposed to the federal districts. And a number of people pointed out that right around the outskirts of Flagstaff, say Doney Park, Fort Valley, that some of the people are in Legislative District 6, and somebody across the street is in Legislative District 7. And clearly that line just goes in and out and all around, and several people mentioned that this doesn't make sense. Flagstaff and its surrounding area should all be in LD6.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's a big concern I've got, Jerry. And look, there's five members of this commission. I was just talking last segment about a lot of cities are going back to mask mandates and going back to things like virtual council meetings, which I think has been a disaster because you're not able to go talk directly with your representatives. And here we have this group that comes through Flagstaff. Look, I don't know what happened to the two Republicans. I don't want to make, maybe there was something that is just unforeseen. I get it, but it seems it just kind of stinks that two of them weren't even there, even virtually. I wish they were there in person because I think that there's a lot more, but you got two Democrats that you said showed up virtually. The independent chair was there in person, and then the two Republicans didn't even show up. And this is the one opportunity to hear directly from the community of interest. And then next thing, they're going to come back. They're already going to have some maps drawn up. I think that's a big miss. And I'm going to get political on you here with this because you've got, honestly, the Republicans, CD1 is one of the closest races that they keep trying to win. LD6 is a target to take over for the Democrats, and the two Republicans aren't even there virtually. I'm a little baffled here.
I was too, Jeff, and I don't quite understand it. Maybe the Republicans are thinking, we already know what we're going to do. We don't need to hear from the public. We know what everybody's going to say. You know, in some respects, it reminded me a lot of the council meetings when you and I were on the Flagstaff City Council. Is we would get 40 people that would come in and speak on a subject and all say their 3 minutes. And a lot of it was not on target. A lot of it, you know, we'd heard 10 times before. Some of it was, you know, we knew things about the issue that obviously the speaker didn't know about. So I don't know. Maybe the two Republicans thought this was a waste of time.
Yeah, this is concerning. I don't want to jump to conclusions because you don't know what happened, and I don't want to be the one to say they should have been there when something personal could have happened or whatever, but I just do find it that two out of five don't even make it virtually.
And, you know, Jeff, there weren't a lot of specifics. The people in, as I mentioned, Fort Valley, Doney Park, Parks, they were specific going, hey, I don't want to be in Legislative District 7, put me in 6 with the rest of Flagstaff. That was pretty specific. But a lot of the speakers really gave nothing to the commission to do anything with.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just pointed out that, you know, everybody in this area has a common interest. Well, what's that mean?
Yeah.
You know, and what does that mean to the district line?
Exactly. I think you had the most, from what I'm hearing, solid, at least, idea of, hey, here's a geographic area. Let's see if it jives with population, as we discussed yesterday. And folks, you can listen back to that podcast, talkwithjeff.com, if you want to hear specifics as to how they draw these lines. But there's a population element as well. All right, Jerry, keep us up to date on this. I fear people aren't watching this enough, and this is where the gerrymandering, no pun intended, Jerry, gerrymandering can happen and cause problems and really shift the political outcome in an entire state. So I appreciate it. We'll talk with you soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thank you. And folks, we've got more to come. News updates. I've got a couple of big ones here for you. Plus, I want to pay tribute to a patriot for the state of Arizona that passed away. And she did so much when it comes to conservatism and libertarianism. So we want to talk about that a bit as well. Plus, your comments. Text 877-971-3971. Back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
Yeah, and that's, of course, our text line as well. Our good friends at Just Wireless sponsoring our text and listener line. Today's a text comment day, 877-971-3971. And you can get your text comments in anytime. If you're listening back to the podcast or if you're listening to this show and it's over the weekend, a lot of times our Friday show gets put out on different stations over the weekend, text a comment in and I'll get to it the next program, most likely, 877-971-3971. I have a tribute to an Arizona Patriot coming up here that I want to talk about here in just a couple of minutes, so stick around for that. I do want to cover some news items before we run out of time this hour. I mentioned this before we spoke with Glenn Least and WT Wealth Management a little while ago, City of Flagstaff, I guess now requiring the masks. We see this spreading. This is on the city properties because there is a state law now. It's not a executive order from the governor. This is actually the mask freedom bill that Representative Joseph Chaplick championed, and he's been on the program many times. I think we'll get him back on next week to make sure there isn't any kind of crazy loopholes. But basically, the mask freedom law says that the state, local, county, all those folks cannot mandate on a private business to force them to require masks. And that's a good thing. If you want to, but however, if you're a business and you want to require masks, you can do that. That's your choice as a private business. So we'll see if there's any loopholes though, but the cities, they can decide to do this. And that's exactly what the city of Flagstaff did starting 6 a.m. Friday, July 30th, they required all, they're requiring, because this is happening right now, requiring all masks or all people visiting their city properties, like City Hall, for example. Or if you want to go to that, they have that Aquaplex, which just finally opened back up. It's ridiculous how long they were closed for. I don't know, maybe you have to swim with the mask on. Who the heck knows? So, you got to mask up once again. They're joining Tucson, Tempe, Peoria, Phoenix, and probably a host of others that I haven't been following close enough. So you're seeing this spread around the state now, and we're going to get back to cities with masks versus cities without masks. And as John said earlier in the program, John Heilner, he was saying that he noticed just in a week in the Phoenix area that maybe 1 in 10 were wearing masks. Now it's 50% again. So they've got everyone all juiced up once again now with the Delta variant. So we'll see how this impacts things going forward. Let's see, what else have we got? Oh, good start to a monsoon. I was surprised by these numbers, although I shouldn't be, because if you have an empty bucket outside, you've seen how much it's filled up. It's from ABC 15. Flagstaff has picked up more than 6 inches of rain so far this monsoon season. The average rainfall for the entire monsoon season is typically 7.68 inches. So Flagstaff's close to already being at with quite a bit. I mean, where are we? We've got August into early September. You got easily 5-6 weeks of monsoon potentially left, unless it just peters out all of a sudden. We're probably going to have much more rain than average. Tucson, too, wettest July on record. They've picked up even more than Flagstaff, 7 inches of rain so far this month. So just for July, wettest monsoon on record, like I said. So good stuff there. We'll take it. Hopefully it leads to a good snow season. Or, snowpack as well. We'll see what happens. Let's see. The U.S. Surgeon General, in a week where the mandates and requirements continue to pile up, this isn't a mandate, but this guy was on MSNBC. U.S. Surgeon General recommends fully vaccinated people wear masks. Get this. We've already been through this. We've already done this. We've already had the studies that said this is stupid. In fact, I think this study said something like this is really dumb to do this. And it was from MIT months ago. U.S. Surgeon General recommends fully vaccinated people. Congratulations. I guess, I think they're going backwards. They're putting more and more restrictions on people who got vaccinated. And I think this is going to backfire with people who are on the fence saying, well, wait a second. Because now they're saying you got to wear masks out, not only indoors, but outdoors. We're back to that, to protect the unvaccinated. So The vaccinated people got to wear a mask outdoors, supposedly, according to U.S. Attorney General, not Attorney General, Surgeon General, to protect the unvaccinated. This is from The Blaze. U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy is recommending that fully vaccinated individuals wear face masks outdoors to protect the unvaccinated. Made the suggestion during an appearance on MSNBC, where he said fully vaccinated individuals wearing masks indoors and outdoors was a, quote, extra step of protecting the unvaccinated people. But what, I thought we were following the science. What about the MIT study and these other studies that showed that wearing it outside was doing nothing? Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Yesterday, Speaker Pelosi, and we'll try to get a D.C. update next week from somebody, maybe Congressman Biggs, maybe Congressman Gosar. But she was telling the Capitol Police that, arrest staff and visitors who are not wearing a mask in her realm, I guess. It's from Fox News. U.S. Capitol Police were ordered to arrest visitors. Could you imagine this? You couldn't write this in a science fiction movie. We're ordered to arrest visitors and staff who refuse to wear a mask on the House side of the Capitol complex, according to a police memo issued by new Capitol Police Chief Thomas Manger that was obtained by a member of Congress. I just wouldn't do it. Unbelievable. So you see the Republicans. Republicans disobeyed the anointed one, Pelosi, and they showed up without the mask. So the police were advised not to arrest members of Congress. That would be great to see, right? Because you don't wear a mask and arresting members of Congress. Anyway, they were advised not to arrest the members of Congress for failing to wear masks, but to report the lawmakers' noncompliance to the House Sergeant at Arms. And then House members may be subject to fines starting at $500 for skirting mask rules. Unbelievable. But at least it ain't as bad as Australia, which has just become like a tyrannical state. I've mentioned Australia many times. They have a few hundred cases, and they've continued to lock down the whole country. If lockdowns worked, they would work. I've said this so many times for 18 months now. It doesn't work, because as soon as you come out of lockdown, there's the virus waiting for you, and it spreads around. So the people of Australia have just buckled to the tyranny and I don't know, have no ability to fight back anymore. Sydney readies for the army as lockdown fails to squash Delta outbreak. This is from Reuters, because the lockdowns will never work. They will never, ever, ever, ever work. Wake up, people in Australia. The military is basically called to help enforce the lockdown, to go around door to door, to check on people who tested positive. Imagine military showing up. Hey, are you staying inside? You imagine that here? I hope that doesn't happen. But it's happening over in Australia, and that has become a nation that has just fallen, basically, to this tyranny. The eviction moratorium, I guess I better check on this, because it's supposed to expire July 31st. And I know the House is there, well, they're passing a bill to extend this to the end of the year or something. I'll have more information next week, because it's got to move over to the Senate side. Biden's calling on Congress to extend the eviction moratorium, which is set to expire on Saturday. And the Supreme Court ruled that, well, they didn't overturn this dang thing. Yeah, I mean, could you imagine saying to a grocery store that, well, people need food, so when they come up with the full cart of food, if they can't afford to pay for it, you just got to let them walk out with their groceries? Could you imagine that? Or maybe you own a shop. Maybe you're a mechanic, and someone comes in and says, hey, I need my car to get to work, or I can't eat. You got to fix this for free. Or how about these bureaucrats that come up with this crap? How about say you go to work for the next 18 months and don't get paid because, you know, people need that money. We're going to redistribute that tax money. I mean, you could keep drawing this out. You want a 2x4. Well, you should get that for free because you need to build a house. That's what they said to the landlords for the past 18 months in saying that, or the past year plus, that they don't have to, the folks who can't pay don't have to pay. Well, they say, oh, they're going to have to pay eventually. No, but you can't kick them out for not paying. It's ridiculous. And this thing is supposed to expire tomorrow, this eviction moratorium. And the Supreme Court ruled that it needs congressional approval to continue. They didn't get rid of it. originally. They could have squashed this a long time ago. So now you've got billions of dollars, something like 6.5 million households collectively owing more than $20 billion to their landlords. Never going to come up with that. And now they're in a bind because this thing went on for longer than it ever should have. And now the president is saying that we've got to continue this. Of course we do. You never want to end this thing. So the House will pass this thing and then it'll move over to the Senate. But it's unlikely that they'll be able to extend this thing. It needs 100 senators need to approve this eviction moratorium extension in order for it to continue. Now they could probably pass it with a lower threshold, 60, or maybe even they probably need the 60, the filibuster requirements, but it would require a very lengthy approval process, meaning it'll be in the Senate for quite a while. And the Senate is trying to pass Biden's spending binge, the $1.2 trillion, the $3.5 trillion, whatever the heck it is nowadays. So unlikely they'll continue this, but they're trying to. They're absolutely trying to. All right. I want to talk about the passing of someone who I worked with quite a bit, and she's a real Arizona Patriot. And I want to read to you a condensed version of her life. Her name's Joy Stavely, and she passed away recently on July 22nd, actually, after a long battle with cancer. I want to read this, and then I've got some comments to say because I worked with her for many years on many things, and she was a good friend and a patriot here in Arizona. Joy and her husband, Gaylord, owned Canyoneers, a river company, river rafting company. And she also led an active professional life, including membership on the board of the Arizona State Compensation Fund, the Governor's Rural Business Development Board, the Coconino County Business Development Advisory Board, the Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce, Government Affairs Committee, and a term as chairwoman of the Chamber's Board of Directors. She was a longtime member of the Coconino County Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, and in 1997, she actually received the Athena Award, which honors Flagstaff's Businesswoman of the Year. Nationally, Joy served on the board of the National Federation of Independent Business, for which she received several awards. In 1995, she was Senator John Kyle's delegate to the White House Conference on Small Business. In 2016, she was a delegate to the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, and services were held for Joy on July 26, attended by family members, business associates, close friends. Celebration of life is going to be announced. I just want to say what a tremendous life Joy lived. I had the honor of working with her on so many issues politically. She was chairwoman of the Coconino Republican Committee as well. And we worked on a lot of in the political trenches for a long time. And Joy will be missed. And she was an absolute patriot here in Arizona, and a big loss for the freedom and making sure conservatism and libertarianism, you know, moves forward. So a well-lived life, and we will miss Joy going forward. All right, folks, I've got a lot more to come, including a weekly wrap-up at the top of the hour. We got Fox News coming up as well. Plus, if you've got any comments, go ahead and text 877-971-3971. Don't go anywhere. A lot more to come. Hang tight. Back in a few minutes.